I wanted to take a just a real quick selfish moment. My wife gave her testimony yesterday, and before she came up here, I asked her if this was okay to talk about. But before she came up, I said, "If you start crying, do you want me to go up or no?" And she said, "No, don't, because it'll make it worse." And she was about to come up, so I started rubbing her back, and she did one of these things. It's like, oh man. So she gets up here, and she agonizing to watch her, and I'm thinking, this is the, everyone knows this is the moment the husband's supposed to go up on stage and stand next and do this, and I can't. But does this even work? You know, like I was in deep mental anguish till you rubbed my back with your hand. Thank you. And so I'm trying to use mental telepathy to send her signals like, "Carrie, can I please come up there just for appearances? I won't truly comfort you if we could. It'll be fake, I promise." And I wanted you guys to know I'm not a jerk like that. I'm a jerk in a different, better way than that. I'm not going to do that. So, okay, on to serious stuff, living proof. And I want to show a video, then go over a verse. And then I kind of want to walk you through a relationship that I've been blessed to have with this young guy. So, Lowell, if you want to go to the next slide first, and then we'll cue up the video, because I want to, yeah, perfect. So what is living proof? I kind of made up this definition. This is not official, so don't write it down or anything. But really, it's just a way of having a relationship. I'll wait till that's done. Living proof to me is a way of having a relationship with somebody for the purpose of the kingdom, for their soul. So it's kind of another way to say it. It's a spiritual approach to meaningful relationships for the purpose of sharing Christ with the lost. And to me, it can't be a program with me. I can't even call it a tool, because I try to put things on autopilot constantly. And I would do that if I looked at this as a tool or a program, and I would just be kind of forcing guys through this process. And I cannot do that, because every person is different. God made each person unique. So for me, I just cannot let it be that. That's why I say it's just a way of having a relationship. So now, Lowell, if we could watch that video, it speaks volumes, and then we're going to kind of walk through that.
A true connection is a fragile thing. It needs to be built on trust and time. Horses have been part of my childhood from the time I was just a little bitty guy. I grew up in Haiti, where my family lived with the people in order to form a connection with them. The horses were one of the ways that we connected with the people. Horses are prey animals, so their instinct is to buck and run away. It's our job to make a connection with them, to teach them that it's okay for us to even get on them. I learned a technique called join up from a man called Monty Roberts, who learned this technique by studying wild horses. I could take a horse from any country, and within just a few minutes, using their own language, can form a bridge between us that will allow him to begin to trust me and to follow me willingly. Okay, so I'm going to step to his shoulder, asking him to leave me. I would like to help him see me as the leader, and I'm going to mimic his language. We're going to chase them a certain distance. I will start looking for language, and I want the inside ear to be tipping towards me, saying that I'm aware that you're there. Also, I'll be looking for head down, and then usually they'll come in towards me a bit. Once I have all those signals in place, then I will invite him to come to me. It's the same idea with people. You can manipulate them into having them see your way. Or you can encourage them to see your way, because after all, we have what they need. And it benefits them directly also. And so the idea is to form a partnership, a willing partnership, where each side benefits. And in order to do that, you have to invest time and effort and care and love into those people so that the relationships last longer than 20 seconds. And the key is that you have to give of yourself in order to make things better. If they're not ready to hear, if their heart is not ready to hear the gospel, they won't hear it. So you have to wait for those moments in time where God is speaking to them, their heart is open, and you can deliver it.
Okay, so that's one video of this livingprooflessons.com, and there are several videos. They're all brief like that, and it's a really good thing to go through just to get an idea of how you can have different kind of relationships with people, meaningful ones for the purpose of the kingdom. So you can see livingprooflessons.com. And so if you go to the next slide, Lowell, I wanted to read this verse that is this companion with that video you just saw. So it's 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 22. And it says, though I am free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. And so Paul here is really going to join up with somebody where they are and walk with them where they are to win them to Christ is the kind of the picture that's happening here in my mind. And so on the next slide, there's some questions, and this is all coming directly from this first section of livingprooflessons.com. So you see this question, what are some of the key points that help you understand how to reach the lost and why? So I chose some of those bullet points, and then I just want to walk you through a relationship with this guy named Tyler and what that's looked like over the past 3 years. So the first one, true connections are built on time and trust. A few years ago, I was at work, and I wrote a list of all the men that I would like to have a further relationship with. And Tyler is the only guy that kind of came out of that. There's life to that relationship. And so what I first did with Tyler was I invited him to this businessman's lunch that was about leadership, and he was very open to going to that. I think it feels like a safe thing to do because there's other guys there. And so he came to that, and he was real faithful to coming to that in the beginning, and he enjoyed it. And so that was our first way to kind of deepen our relationship. And then from there, I asked him to go to an Astros game with me. So we went to an Astros game, and he talked the whole time, which was great. I enjoy listening to him. And he's a young guy. He's like 25, and I'm almost 50, so big age difference. But I think he's, you know, kind of hungry for a relationship, and so I'm just listening to him. And then I thought, you know, our relationship now has progressed where I could probably invite him one-on-one to lunch. And just keep in mind that there's a lot of time passing. This is months and months this is going by. So we're probably 6 to 8, 9 months in before I even get him to a one-on-one lunch. And we had a one-on-one lunch, and that went pretty smooth. And so I started to invite him to more Astros game because he seemed to really enjoy that. And so we started doing that. Then that original businessman lunch that I invited him to, we got that group to go to Carbach Brewery in Houston because a lot of those guys like craft beer, and Carbach has a really cool place. And so we set that up, and he was super excited to go to that, and we went, and he had a great time. He loves craft beer, so that was right up his alley. So we're pretty deep into a relationship now at year one, one and a half. And it's pretty superficial and just fun. I don't know much about him. We're just kind of building connection points. And from then now, I feel like I have full reign to invite him to one-on-one lunches. And I'm kind of gauging. I don't want to rush into him too much. So I'm really intentionally thinking, like, has enough time passed that it's almost like a girlfriend. You know, I'm pursuing him more than I've ever pursued a girl, for sure. And he's receptive to these lunches. They keep coming. And then I thought, you know, we're deep enough where I want him to come into my home and meet my family. And so I invited him over to watch the Houston Texans. And he came over, sat in my living room, and met my two kids and my wife. And he was very engaged with them. I didn't know how it would go, but he seemed to almost kind of leave me to go talk to them, which I enjoyed seeing that. But it was something I did not expect. And it was very interesting. And my family really liked him, too. So from there, now we're starting to get to where I'm knowing more about him, and he started to share some personal things, and not everything's going perfect, right? So he's kind of reaching out, but not really. And so I said, well, we could kind of start to commit to meeting like on a weekly basis if you want. That's what I did one time, and it really helped me and really changed my life. And he said, sure, I'd love to do that. And I know what I had in my mind is we would meet and talk about personal things and get deeper into everything. But he immediately said, why don't we work out at my apartment gym every Tuesday? And I went, okay, I mean, that's fine. It's not at all what I had in mind. And so it totally just went to a different direction. But I said, yeah, because I need to work out. So I said, I'll do it. Let's do it. So we set up this deal where I drive to his apartment in town from the suburbs. I drive into town. I have to sneak into his apartment complex. Like the car goes and the gate opens and I have to sneak in real quick. And there's nowhere for me to park. It's all permit parking. And so I'm sneaking around and then I wait, can't even get into the gym. So I have to call him and wait. And then we get in and have a workout. And so we started doing that. And then I would leave because I didn't want it to get too awkward. And then eventually he invited me into his apartment. So we'd walk and go into his apartment and just kind of stand on the balcony or something. And he, keep in mind that he loves craft beer. And so, and I enjoy him too. And so I said, hey, I'll bring some craft beer over. And he really liked that idea. So I was happy to do that. And that kind of deepened the relationship. And then we have access to this Greater Houston Gun Club in Houston. And I invited him to that. So now we're you know, near the end of 2 years, almost 3 years into relationship. And it was like a kid in a candy store. He loved that. And he was just really blown away because you go and shoot skeet. You're riding around in a golf cart to these different stations. You shoot skeet. And you have a lot of fun doing that. But then you go back to this nice clubhouse and you cook a steak out on this huge grill. And there's a potato bar inside with artichoke hearts, and it's like a great dinner. And I never tell guys about that, and they're just blown away that that's all just right there at their fingertips. And so he loved that. So now you can imagine all these connection points and these things that we've done over the course of 3 years. We have a pretty a relationship that is maturing. And then the final thing I want to mention on this one is that I invited him. I felt our relationship was in a place where I could invite him to a lunch where a man was going to give his testimony. And so I did that, and we're 3 years in, and he received that pretty well. And on the way home, he asked a couple of questions, and it got him thinking. It wasn't a whole lot, but there was a little bit there. So again, just connections built on time and trust, you know, really pouring in to develop this and so that he can trust me. And I'm trying to expose my whole life to him so he can feel that he's seen a good enough look so he can have trust in me or not. So that's that first bullet. There's another one on there for wait for when the person is open to hearing. Give yourself and don't manipulate. I pulled three into one topic here. So I'm letting him guide the relationship. I'm not pushing anything on him. I'm not forcing anything. It just doesn't seem right. I'm going by my gut a lot on this. And when I say gut, I'm hoping that I'm hearing the Holy Spirit correctly in all of this. So I think about it this way. I only want him in a disciple relationship with me if that's what God wants, right? So if that's God's plan, if God wants me to get into a relationship that is discipleship with him, God will make that happen no matter what I or this guy Tyler wants, because I'm very committed to this relationship. I'm not going anywhere, and I'll be there. So if God wants it to happen, he doesn't have to mobilize me or anything. I'm just going to be sitting right there waiting for it to happen. So my purpose for being with Tyler is that I have now grown very fond of him, and I care for him, and I want him to know Jesus. Just he and Jesus. I don't want anything in between. Not me, no program, not Operation Timothy, nothing. You know, just for him to powerfully know Jesus one-on-one. So when you kind of think about that, I'm not trying to manipulate him into anything. And I'm giving myself to him as much as I can. As much as he'll take, I'm giving it to him. And then I'm just waiting to see when he's open to hearing, if he's interested or not, you know. And we're 3 years in and had a couple little door cracks, but nothing major, and that's fine. I've already told God, I said, I'm not going anywhere, and I don't have expectations here. I'll hang with him the rest of my life, even if it doesn't even turn into anything. So another one of the bullets on here is making a connection out of that first column. And so over this course of time, when I'm with him, I'm my radars are up, because I'm listening to everything he's saying, because he's laying things out constantly, and I can pick up on, okay, he likes craft beer, I do too, that's something we can do, and he likes to do outdoors things, so I'm like, okay, I could take him to the gun club, and he likes watching sports, but he doesn't have cable in the apartment. I'm like, perfect. Then he can come to my house and watch the Texans game. And I'm really watching for how I can be in this man's life with making connections. And I enjoy his company. I always have, and it more and more that happens. There are some things he does that I can't, I couldn't, I mean, I could go do it. Like he'll do Dungeons and Dragons. And I mean, I could go try to do that, but I'm not going to be probably real good at it. So, like, let's do the craft beer together. We'll do that one. language. So here's a big one here. I'm in this relationship with him for two and a half years. No crises, really. Things are going fine. And I'm just laying there and waiting. And I'm not thinking crisis is coming, but it comes. It just has a way of doing that in our lives. And so he's starting to share with me. So one day I had a lunch that canceled, and I was near his office, and I said, Tyler, I had a lunch canceled. Can I come pick you up for lunch? And he said, yes. And went and picked him up. My car door opens, and his face is red, and he's crying. And so he sits down, and he's crying. He cried the whole way to the restaurant, the whole time at the restaurant, and the whole way back to work. He cried the entire time. And what a fortuitous lunch. I had one cancel. And my gosh, this man needed somebody to talk to. Nothing special about me. It's just God, I guess, you know, let it happen. And so language, he was saying, it was the most spiritual conversation I've ever had with somebody that was not openly spiritual. Like, I couldn't say everything, but it was so, like, an example is he would say, he was describing what was happening with his family, with his parents, with his sister, so much. It was really a lot. And then it bled into work. It would, because it was so much. So it bled into work. Now there's stuff, there's issues at work. So everything around him just seems like a kind of a pile of crap. And what I wanted to say was, man, you're in total spirit, big time spiritual attack. But I couldn't say that. So I would say, Tyler, man, this is a lot. This is like, I mean, I don't know many people that get this much poured on them. This doesn't even really seem right. And he's kind of like, yeah, seriously, he's agreeing with me. And I did say, it's almost like you're under attack. And just kind of left it at that. And he didn't bite on that at all. So just kind of left it. And then he said, I want a long-term solution. He goes, I try alcohol. That doesn't help me. I try vacations. That doesn't help. I tried pouring myself into work. That doesn't help me. I tried video games. That doesn't help me. And I just want like some long-term peace and a solution. And you know what I want to tell him. And so I just say, yeah, I understand that. And he says, I feel like I have a big hole in me. I'm like, this is like the number one Christian cliche. I'm like, yeah, we do. But I mean, you can disagree with me. You can totally disagree with me. It didn't feel right. The door seemed like it was open. It just didn't feel right to go, well, Tyler, you know, let me tell you about Christ. He'll fill that hole right now. It just didn't feel right. So I just said, God, I'm not going anywhere. So we can do this another day because it just doesn't feel like today's the day. But that is when, that's the day that I said, hey, can we start meeting more frequently then? And then he said, yes, let's work out. I thought, okay. Still taking curves and windy roads. So that was back in February. And then in April, I woke up on April the 4th, and I've been praying for him. I've been praying for a Timothy, right? And I don't know if this is it or not, and I refused to grab him as a Timothy. I told God, I'm not going to do that. You're going to have to make it clear, because I'm not going to push myself in there. So April 4th, I woke up, and I really felt God say, you can ask him now to go into Timothy in like a discipleship relationship. And I felt very at peace. I didn't feel like it was me at all. And so that day, I was with him, and he even brought up a couple of spiritual things. And so I asked him if he would want to look at the Bible together, and he said yes. And we agreed to meet, and I went and got the Timothy book for him, and we met on April 16th at Hop Dottie Burger and Beer. Man, this guy loves hamburgers. I had to go on like a massive diet these last few months because I'm eating hamburgers like crazy. Like Paul, you know, he's with the wherever they go. So I figure I got to eat all these hamburgers with them. But so I just want to read these questions he had. So he went through the first chapter of Timothy, and I don't know if you've discipled anyone, man. It's like Christmas, because when they open that book, you're trying to look so hard. Like, are they filling it out and a lot or just a little? And, man, everything is so, like, just really nice printing, and he's filled it out. I'm like, wow, he's engaged big time. So I just said, so what do you think? And these were some of the questions. He said, well, why am I here? That was one question. What is the difference between Christianity and other religions? And then there's this little section on prophecy. And he said, so they said that stuff and it really happened? And then he said, well, where does it end? Is the Bible, is it still being written? Or is it over? Or is it still going on? Those were some of the questions. So it was very rich time for me. I was so thankful to the Lord that he let me just sit there and watch that all happen. And so that, you know, knowing that was back April 16th, so that was one and done. He didn't engage any further. So I invited him very next week. We went right back at it. And he walked out from work. I pick him up at work, and he had no book. I said, okay, this is, maybe we're going to lay off for a little bit. And he just wanted to kind of go back into relationship. He might have had enough for one time, which is perfectly fine. And so that's kind of my long-winded version of wait for when the person is open. No, I don't. I'm lost now, but it's in there. So, I'm just not going to, you know, push it. I'm just there for him when he's ready, and he just kind of hasn't been ready. But we're still talking heavily, and Although this last week we went to lunch and I said, hey, Tyler, they have an electronic version of that book I gave you. Would that be more interest? Because he's an IT guy. And he said, oh, yeah, yeah. I already lost the book, so yeah. I said, okay. But he wants the link. So I said, okay, I'll send you the link. And then we'll just kind of just let God unfold this however he wants to do it, even if he's going to do it. So the last one here, Beginning to Trust, that's one that's on here. So this is really beautiful to me, is that Tyler is beginning to trust me because he's starting now to share kind of more deep personal things, not things that are going on around him. He just likes things like, here's where I'm at type things. He's done that a couple of times, but better than that, he went to lunch with one of the guys from us, and he shared with him a lot because he's... this other guy's kind of been a part of the businessman lunch we do, and the Astros. He's seen him, and he keeps going, that's a familiar face. And I just say, yeah, it's a friend, and we just kind of keep bumping into him. Well, so he's reaching out and going out with that guy on his own, too, and he's trusting in him as well because he's – and so it's better for me when I can look at other people. And so I tell this other guy, I said, oh, man, I think he's seeing Jesus and the Holy Spirit in you. So I think he's starting to now just kind of be drawn into this stuff. It's better when it's not me, you know? So that's like the most encouraging to me, that he's beginning to trust in these guys that he's seeing and everything. So, Lowell, if you'll pop up that verse one more time, we'll just close with that. And we're doing good on time. We'll get you some ice cream here in a minute. So Paul was all these things to all these people. He's like a Jew. He's like someone under the law. He's like someone not under the law. He's like a weak person, everything, just wherever they're at, so that he can be all things to all people, and so that he might save some. So thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you, Sam. Okay, guys, we ran a few minutes over. My apologies on time management. Ice cream at the Wagon Wheel, so either pick up your kids or head straight there. It's a good time. Family dodgeball tomorrow at 1:30 right outside this area here. The scavenger hunt will be Thursday at 1:30 out in front. There's a book table, remember, over here to the left. Bruce Witt's book is $8. Somebody's asked me about that. It's $8. The talent show, if you are interested or your kiddos are interested, see Lowell to sign up for that. Reminder, Garner State Park, for those of you who have kids going to that, they need to turn in the forms to their leaders. The kids need to bring the cash with them. They're going to meet in the Winflato lobby where you checked in on Sunday night. That's where they'll leave from between 8:30 and 8:45. Please be on time. Let's see, anything else? Tennis is tomorrow. Evaluations will be on Thursday. You heard, I'm sorry?
Tennis Thursday, sorry.
I'm rushing. Evaluations on Thursday. One of the things on the evaluation form is Crown Ministries. So you heard Rick and Dana talk about that. If you're interested, check that, and someone will follow up with you. And then lastly, if you're interested in Living Proof, what you heard Sam talk about, and in a way you heard Brad living with his son, we're going to have a workshop on that tomorrow, and I'll talk more about that in the morning where we're going to meet. So you're dismissed, and have a good evening. See you guys tomorrow.